As I said, next Sunday we're going to have the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, chapter 1. We're going to see the story of Jesus. And it starts out with a baby in a manger. But you know, at this time of year when we talk about Jesus and Him being born, that's all that some people ever really see is just a baby in a manger. They don't stop and think about the purpose that God had for that child that came in the manger. They don't stop to think that the wise men were truly following a star that had shone in heaven to show that something that God was doing something. They just see a baby in a manger. All these other things are just a story. They say we get the idea from Christmas is that we bring the gifts and we give to Jesus, and therefore somehow we're the recipients of what Jesus would get because we bring gifts to one another. But they don't think that the wise men said in Scripture that they had come to worship Him, and they brought gifts to this baby that was in the manger. And they brought these gifts that were kingly gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they brought these and they laid them at the child's feet because He was worthy to be worshipped as a king. But a lot of people just see the baby in the manger. And they don't see all the struggles that took place at His birth. They don't see all the struggles and the things that were fulfilled by Scripture that were laid out in Isaiah, that were laid out in the prophets of old to testify that this is how the Son of God, this is how our Savior, our Messiah would come. They just see a baby in a manger. And so when we have things today where we have nativity scenes and somebody comes up and they think that they can, you know, they'll steal the baby Jesus and it becomes news and everybody gets all upset and all, and He's come and gone. That does nothing but show their own ignorance. How many times was Jesus taken advantage of? How many times has the church been taken advantage of? How many times were the prophets lied to? It just shows the hatred that the world has for the Savior that God sent to give us a chance. And the manger, as Jesus came, which I guess we'll go ahead and read 2:7. It's in Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we have these depictions of this nice little crib that has some clean hay that was there, and Jesus was laid in it and clothing over top of Him. Everybody was gathered around, and you know, we see the little rooftop and all, and it's certainly made to look Hollywood and picturesque. But the reality is a lot different, because when Jesus came, it was in a cave almost, and there was a place that was carved out for animals, and the hay probably stunk. It probably wasn't fresh, brand new. I mean, this was a place where animals laid. They didn't prepare this place. I mean, it had been prepared by God. But see, they came to the inn, and they said, "We had no room for y'all." And so they took them out to the stable. And do you really think they went and washed the stable and cleaned it all up and all? Mm-mm. But you know, if you ever read Scripture and you see the physical act that's going on, there's something spiritual that's different. There's more than just that baby laying in a manger. You know, with all the animals that were sacrificed by the people of God, the blood that was made available as a stopgap measure of the law, which is crazy to think that the law would come back, it was just waiting on Christ to come. and all the blood that was shed by all those animals, here come the Son of God. In actuality, that the name that all of these blood was shed for, and he came like one of the animals. God has always had mercy on his creation. But because of our hatefulness, because of our rebellion, because of our resentment for God, the blood was shed. It was never because of God. But I want us to see something here. You see, it was not just Jesus that was in the manger. There was no room for them. No room for any of them. See, this shows us that from the very beginning, those who would be of Christ, the world doesn't have any room for you. They don't have any need for your God. They don't have any room for your edicts that you live by, the Scripture that you hold as life breath from God, that give you comfort, that correct you, that uplift you, that discipline you. They have no need for this. We have no room for your God in our house. We have no room for you who want to support this idea. We have no room for you. So from the very beginning, we see that it wasn't just Jesus that was in the manger. It was those that would come to serve Him as King, that they would also be where He was. Isaiah 7, 14 through 16. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Curds and honey He shall eat, that He may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, and it goes on in a prophecy to say that the land will be forsaken and all. But this is a prophecy here, because there was physical things that happened in Isaiah that this happened, but this was a prophecy of Christ. Could you imagine? Here you are, and you and your wife are betrothed to be married. And you know you haven't touched her. And the next thing you know, she's pregnant. And she comes to you and says that it was the Lord. That God had made her the handmaiden of the Lord. And that she bore in her the Son of God. Would you believe it? When your son and your daughter come and they tell you the story, I didn't have sex with my boyfriend. God did this to me. Would you believe it? You see, this is what God has asked us to believe, a virgin birth. And the only way that we can really understand that is if we were to put it and we were faced with the power of God, the very Scriptures that we hold in our hands, to say that through a virgin He would bring forth His Son. And your child was to come to you, or your spouse was to come to you and say, I bear the Son of God in my womb. It'd be a tough pill to swallow, wouldn't it? Imagine how it is for the world. See, they just see a baby in a manger. Virgins don't have kids. But God has asked us to believe in that virgin birth. Do we? I do. Had my son or my daughter come to me in that situation, and all I had was Scripture to rely on, it'd be a little tougher then, wouldn't it? Do you see how much trust and faith that we have in the pure Word of God? Because He's asked us to believe that this has happened. See, Jesus came as an infant, and we can understand all the things that go along with the infancy. We understand that a child is going to run when they shouldn't, because they're unstable, and you tell them to slow down, they're going to fall, and they laugh and they run and they fall and then they cry. Like, what in the world just happened? We understand the things that a child can get themselves involved in as they start to grow up in life, and then they have a choice to make between doing the fun things and then doing the chores so that you won't get in trouble. And there's still time to do the fun things. We tell our kids that all the time. Take 15 minutes to do your chores when you get home, and then you can do what you want the rest of the evening if you don't have any homework. doesn't happen that way. What do you think it was with the baby Jesus as he grew? You know, we sing a song that says, away in the manger, no crib for a bed. The little baby, and I'm paraphrasing this, little baby Jesus lay down his head, his sweet head, and no crying that he makes. I can assure you that a newborn baby cries. That's not a sin. It's a newborn baby. So Jesus came as an infant, and so we don't see a lot of his life or the life of his parents during the time of his infancy. And I think they're with good reason, because we would classify everything. Well, gosh, that was a sin. That couldn't have been right. Jesus had to learn to walk as a man, because we had to learn to walk as children of God. And so with him being God in the flesh, and he came to walk among us, he had to learn to do that the same as we had to learn to not walk in the flesh and walk by the Spirit. But Jesus came as an infant. Guess who else came as an infant? The church, when it began, it was also in its infancy. See, when Christ came and we saw that God was with us from the beginning, as Christ, and we go back to Adam and Eve, but we're talking about the birth of Christ here. And so when Emmanuel, the Lord with us, the Lord among us, that God was there from the beginning, and we saw that child grow, and we saw that child learn, and we saw that child mature. You see, the letters that we have in the New Testament that were written, Timothy, Corinthians, Romans, they were written rebuking the church because they were acting as children, still of the world, not maturing into the head that is Christ. Now, see, when we look at the baby Christ and we look at all the things that we just talked about, we can understand that, right? But when it comes to the church, somehow we think that the church should be perfect and that the people in them should be perfect and not make mistakes and not do things that are wrong. But just as the child had to learn, the church, the early church, had to learn. And how they learned was by the letters that we hold in our very hands. So if you want to know, God wrote those letters to everyone sitting here, because that's how we learn. And just as Joseph had to trust in Scripture, because he had the Holy Scriptures that Jesus was going to come of a virgin, just as Joseph had to trust in Scripture, trust his wife. Not everybody did. My goodness, this could not have been easy. They weren't married. They were betrothed. So just as everyone had to trust in those Scriptures and in the power of God that he was telling the truth, and just as the early church had to realize that they couldn't continue to act as children, that they had to mature, and they had to trust those Scriptures, Christ came as a child. The church came as a child, but Christ matured and the church matured. When we come into the church, I'm not talking about when we walk into the building. I'm talking about when we come to Christ. Guess what we come as? An infant. We come as an infant, as Christ came. And the only thing we have to grow by, and I want to put this off on the mature Christians for a moment, we are the family that raises those children. We should know better. Now, I'm not talking about people that are 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, that they've been in the church all their life. I'm talking about from the time that they have become Christians and they have walked and they have matured, and that we have a baby Christian that comes in among us that is immersed into Christ. We have a responsibility to do as Mary and Joseph did, to raise that child. Now, I know that we have families and that the family takes care of the child and all, but spiritually, we have a responsibility to be there for that child. And I'm not talking about the infant that they have. I'm talking about the young Christian. So therefore, we have a responsibility to one another. And it's important. And it's important because Christ came defenseless. And when we become a Christian, we are defenseless without the sword of God that the mature Christians hold and watch over that Christian as they learn and as you teach them. 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 10 says, "Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with." We cannot start out teaching our children about the basics of life. And I'm talking about, you know, how we should live, how we should talk, how we should do all these things. The child that comes into Christ, you have to start on their level. They are an infant. They've got to learn to do every single thing that they do. They are not born with the knowledge of how to walk. They're not born with the knowledge of how to speak. They're not born with the knowledge, because when they're born, they just lay there. You know what comforts them the most when a newborn baby? Is for you to wrap them back up as tight as you can, and they feel like they're safe in the mother's womb. And somehow as we mature, we get away from that feeling and we want freedom. Freedom from our parents, freedom from society, freedom from the Word of God. And we forget that that which comforted us when we had no ability to do anything was all that was surrounded us, the Word of God, the mature Christians, the church, the love that was there that protected us. And we want to walk away from all of that. Bless you. And the Bible says that these are childish things that we do. But the infant church had to start out that way. You know why? Because they started out as a baby. See, next Sunday we're going to talk about the baby in the flesh that came. But there's spiritual babies that have come in Christ. The church, us. It goes beyond the physical and looks into the spiritual. The infant church came as a baby. They had to do the same things that a baby does. They had to learn. And so we as Christians can never forget. At what point do you stop learning? At what point do our children stop learning? They say, "You know what? I got this. I don't need you riding me all the time. I don't need you bothering me all the time. Stop calling me and waking me up. I can do this." At what point do our children not need us anymore? At what point do we not need God anymore? You see, the church is always growing and always learning. But God separates something here. He separates from being a child and getting away from those childish things. He's trying to get us to see that when we come into the church as a child, He expects us to mature. He expects us not to walk worthy of the Lord. I know that He says that, and I'm not taking away from that, but we walk in the flesh and we fail and we try again and we try to stay faithful. We try to change our life. The point I'm trying to make is He wants to develop in us the mindset that God has. Because what's the one thing that teaches the church, that teaches that baby, is the Word of God. And you know why that is? It's because He's trying to bring about a maturity. Not that we can walk without falling, but we can bring about a mindset of God that we can walk in this world and not stumble in the dictates that God's laid out before us. Bless you. But as a child, we all have to grow. And we in this church, even though we are maturing and even though we are mature, we still are growing. And that which teaches us is those scriptures that Mary and Joseph had to rely on to believe that God was in the mix. Prophecy and tongues are not perfect. They only said, they only taught in part. They only gave the part of the story. But the church in its infancy did these childish things until it started to grow. And when it grew, guess what made it grow? We just talked about it. 1 Corinthians 13:11-12. "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child." Even Jesus did. Even Jesus did. The Bible says that He had to experience life to learn to walk. There is a reason that Jesus did not start His ministry until He was about 30 years old. It's the same reason that we don't allow 15-year-old kids and treat them as adults, give them cars, credit cards, and live on their own. They have to understand what life is about first. And Jesus, when He came in the flesh, He had to learn to walk in that flesh. Just as, like, again, just as we had to learn to walk in the Spirit. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish things. For now we see in a mirror, and if you go to James 1, 22 through 24, you see clearly that mirror he's talking about is Scripture. We see dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I'm also known. These things that the apostles were trying to teach the church so that they would mature, the apostles had to understand. They walked with Jesus and they talked with Him, but even they didn't know the full picture. Peter had to be shown a vision three times, the sheet being let down, so that he would understand that it was the Gentiles that were going to be led into the faith. He didn't have all this knowledge at the beginning. What is it that we don't know about Christ? What is it that we don't understand? What is it that we still have to grow? The thing that hampers us is the thing that he says here, I put away childish things. The church had to put away prophecy. The church had to put away tongues. These were things that were trusted. People said that I had a prophecy to tell. I had an oracle from God. I had a revelation from God. And these things were trusted. But now we don't have those things because we have Scripture. The same Scripture that taught Jesus who He was is the same Scriptures that will mature us. Because the apostles never really taught anything different than the Old Testament Scriptures taught, because the Bible says that those Old Testament prophets were prophesying through the Spirit of Christ about the coming and about the sufferings that He would do and about the things that would impact us. And see, the point behind all that, if it was just about Christ, He's dead, He died, He's raised, it's all over with. But those same sufferings that He talked about, that the church experienced, the early church experienced, is the same sufferings that we experience. The same things that we go through. And we get through them the same way by trusting those Scriptures that everyone else did. And He tells us here about this mirror, but we have to put away those childish things. We may not argue about tongues and prophecy, we may. But there's other childish things in our life that God expects us to put away because He expects us to mature. He expects us to grow in Christ. He expects those things that hamper our relationship with Him for us to put those away. We're raising a child. We can't act like kids and raise a child. God has asked us to mature and put these things away. Because if we don't, it's not just going to be us that we're going to lead down the path, that we're going to throw our salvation in the trash can because we couldn't do something that God has asked us to do. We couldn't say no. We couldn't grow up. We couldn't put those things away that are childish that we used to play with. We thought as a child, but now we see things differently. We're raising children. And they don't always look like, they don't always look like children when we're raising them. You know why? Because not everybody starts out as a Christian as a baby when they came in this world. It's impossible to. How does a baby confess Christ? How does a baby know the difference? The Bible says that even Jesus as a child had to grow and learn to see the difference between good and evil and reject the evil. So we could have a 50-year-old baby sitting in our midst, a 30-year-old baby in our midst. And here we are, possibly younger, possibly older, and we're still acting like children ourselves. God has asked us to put away those childish things because we are raising a child. Just as the church was raising a child, and just as Jesus was being raised as a child, God has asked us to put away these things and to mature and to grow. That's my last slide. Luke 2, 41 through 50, and I'm going to kind of jump a little bit because it wasn't necessary to read all of it, but part of it, and I had to start at 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and this is talking about Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. We saw Jesus as an infant, and now all of a sudden he's 12. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And now so it was, verse 46, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. This was a baby that we saw in a manger, laying in dirty hay, surrounded by people that were godly parents that loved him and they raised him. And here he was 12 years old, and we see growth and maturity. We see a purpose in his life. Now, we may have started being a Christian when we were 25 years old. We might have started when we were 35. We might have started when we were 50. But God has a purpose, and he expects growth and maturity in us. Because the next time we see Jesus from an infant, we definitely see a difference between a child that knows nothing and can't do anything for himself, that now he has a hunger for God. He's listening and he's talking. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Why were they astonished? They've always been astonished when Jesus revealed to people the God behind the Scriptures. The Bible says what he began to teach as an adult, the Bible says they were like, where did you come up with this? How did you know these answers? I am blown away by this. They've always been blown away by the truth of God. And the reason they couldn't see it is because they were still children. They had not matured yet. You can't take but so much. And when those Jews before Christ came and they were given the Scriptures, it would only bring them but so far. You know where it brought them to? The knowledge of Christ. That was what it was supposed to do. When he showed up and he started teaching them, that was where they were supposed to start leaving those childish things, and they were start to following the Son of God and starting to mature. Some did, most didn't. And when the teaching gets rough in the church, the children don't think it's fun anymore. And I'm talking about the Christians, the young baby Christians. When they start putting an impact on their life and they start feeling the pressure, they don't think it's fun anymore. And so they don't want to put away those childish things. They still want to play, and they go. Verse 49, and he asked them, and he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Verse 50, but they did not understand the statement in which he spoke. Big surprise, huh? Everyone has to learn. These are the people that took care of that infant child who had no ability on his own to do anything. If they would have walked away from that child would have surely died. Had the angels not come and scooped him up. But they didn't walk away. And God knew they weren't going to walk away. Why? Because he knew they were godly parents. And that's what he expects from us as a family and as a church, to be godly people to raise children, to be honest, to stand in the truth, and not get carried away by rumors and hints and of wars and all the things that are happening. We don't get carried away by that stuff because we've matured. We realize that there's an answer to these questions. But they did not understand. The people that took care of him, now they were the ones that were going to be taught. The song that we sing, Mary, did you know that your baby boy, the child that you delivered, would one day deliver you? Jesus did not stay as a child, but he grew in the knowledge of Scripture because the mature Christ was here for salvation. Just as the church has grown from its infancy, relying on today on that same Scripture for salvation. See, God has always made it available to us to mature, just like he had parents to take care of Christ, just like the apostles took care of the early church, and now it's the elders' job to take care of the church. And I'm not talking about just the physical need of the people, because we try to do that. Some we can't help. Some we can. But God has asked us spiritually to mature this church and to rely on Scripture to do that. And sometimes the messages will be encouraging. Sometimes they will be condemning. Sometimes they will be corrective, and sometimes they will be uplifting. But all these things God does out of His love to take care of His children, to raise us to maturity. Because a child that goes out into this world with a child's mindset will be taken advantage of, will be hurt, and one day will be found dead. Because they don't understand how this world works. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand why anybody would want to hurt them. And we just had evidence with Mary and Joseph who took care of the baby Jesus. When Jesus said, I would be about my Father's business, they said they just didn't understand. And Jesus was going to begin to teach them also. But just as in the beginning of the world, and in the beginning that we saw with Christ when He came as a baby, the world had no room for Christ. And later on, we see as time progressed, they don't understand what the church is doing. They don't understand what Christ came here for. Neither do they understand what the maturing church is for. Some people see this place as some place they go to feel better about themselves. They go here to wave a banner because they think, I'm righteous and you don't come, so you're not righteous. They don't understand what the purpose of this church is. So that we can all come together, worship our Lord, and we can live. Because Jesus Himself said out of His own mouth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And He was talking about communion. He was talking about the fellowship that we share in His name as the body of Christ. We come together, and this keeps us alive. And as mature Christians, we have to stand for this. As younger Christians, we have to show them. And as baby Christians, we have to feed them. Many still just see a baby in a manger. And they never think and they don't look ahead at what happened after that child grew. We see ourselves as Christians. But as we start to grow, we should ask ourselves, not what are we here for, because we know what we're here for. We've already gone over that. We're here to be a light unto the world. But when we start to grow, when we start to mature as a Christian, we should ask, how can God use us? Because if my left hand and my arm on this side decided not to work and just said one day, I'm not going to do anything for you, Calvin. I'm not going to do anything for you. You're right-handed. I've always felt shorted. I don't understand why you rejected me as the dominant hand. And today, I'm not going to do anything else for you. What do you think would happen to your body? How do you think it would impact your life if you had a limb that would just decided one day that it was totally useless? What do you think that would happen? What do you think would happen if we had people in the church that just sit here and did nothing? God used a little baby laying in dirty hay to grow up to be the King of Kings. And that King of Kings looks at every one of you sitting here today and says that you are priests, kings in my God's eyes. What can you do today to make a difference in your life for the sake of Christ? I know one thing that we can do. The Bible says that the plan of salvation that has been laid out to us must be adhered to, and that has to be the place that we start. Remember the children, remember the Mary and Joseph as they took care of the little baby Jesus? And as He came into this world and He was born in a manger, He was born and laid in a manger, and all these people gathered around Him to take care of Him. As the church was about ready to be birthed, when the apostles taught that first gospel sermon, they said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you would receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that that church, as many as heard His words, were gladly, many as heard His word, gladly received His word, and were baptized into Christ that day. And it said about 3,000. And it said that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. The only teaching that the apostles had given at that time to protect that church was to show them how to be born again. Well, that wasn't the only. They told them about holding steadfast in the breaking of bread and the prayers. They taught how to be a church. These are the elements that are necessary, that should be present in our life to grow as a Christian. And I got to tell you, if you've never taken the step of immersion, why would you wait? Because there was a day, and we can argue about December 25th, was it in summertime, springtime, winter? Look, there was a day that Christ came in the flesh. That unbeknownst to the world, here was a woman walking around with a baby in her womb, and it was the Son of God, and He was, every day was bringing Him closer to coming to this world. And then there was a day that we celebrate. Even though we celebrate every single Sunday His death, there is a day that we celebrate where He actually, that child grew, and the man that He grew into died on the face of this earth. And there is a day that He is coming back to require from us all that He gave us, just as if we were to go to our kids and say, "It is time for you to pay me back for what I have done." How can they do that? God has given them one simple way to do that: to repent of their sins and to be baptized. And as surely as that woman walked around and nobody knew that the Son of God was about ready to come into this world. And when I say nobody, I'm talking about the majority of the world. And yet one day there He was. And one day Jesus will come back and demand of us. So why would we wait? What's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?